All right. Welcome to the Drunk Mormon Missionary Podcast. I am your host, Elder Wrong, the Drunk Mormon Missionary, here with my roommate and investigator, Eric. Say hi, Eric.
Hi.
Hi. Well, say a little bit more.
One of these days I'm going to be drunk, too. I'll have a drunk investigator.
All right. So Eric and I have kind of sloughed this off for a while, haven't we?
Yes.
When was the last time we actually did a podcast?
I think 17 years.
17 years? Well, I think I have the official one here. Let me check. The last time we did an official podcast was... Damn, it was like back in January. And it's already March.
See,
it's
that was
like
close.
Mid-March, mid-January. So like 2 months ago. So... I don't know. I kind of warned everybody at the beginning of this shit that I may lose interest.
Or not as much lose interest, but gain interest in something else.
Or gain interest in something else. Or lose interest because, like the Book of Mormon's fucking hard to read, dude. It's boring as shit. You ever tried reading it?
Yes, I have. Joseph Smith wasn't a good writer.
How far did you get when you tried to read this
I read
shit?
The whole thing.
You read the whole thing?
It took me forever.
Took you forever.
Yeah. I pretty much started it before I went to Salt Lake to go to college, just so I could kind of understand.
How long did it take you to read the Book of Mormon?
I think I was probably a sophomore by the time I finished it.
So you started it before you started college.
Right.
And you finished it...
Like 2.5 years later.
2.5 years later. So that you could understand Utah culture when you went to school there.
Right.
Holy shit. I can't believe, because like at one point I was into this shit. And I read this shit like every day, like on my mission. Obviously, I had to I read it like 9 times, like
right.
For the 2 years I was on my mission. Oh God, it's hard. It's so hard to get through.
It just tells me you didn't have a life back then.
Hey, my mic. There we go. The mic cut out. No, I mean obviously I was a missionary. I wasn't getting laid.
Right.
I wasn't drunk back then.
No.
At all. So,
and you were in the land of good vodka, and you were not drunk.
No, not drunk at all. And I couldn't get 9 times, and it's just kind of hard to, like, believe that. Anyway, I don't know. Things change. But we're going to try and get through it, even though we're not very far. We're in First Nephi, and let's see, 2 months ago, we got through chapter 12. So now we're in chapter 13, and that's where we're at. And this is hard. This is hard reading. And so I'm doing you a favor,
right,
and our listeners a favor by reading it so they don't have to, and I will tell you what's in it. So if you're just turning into the Drunk Mormon Missionary Podcast, this is like you just found this and you're turning into the episode 16 is where we're on.
Right.
So what we do is I get drunk, and I try to explain Mormon theology and the Book of Mormon to Eric here.
Right.
Sometimes. Or whoever else will be willing to listen to my drunk ass while I'm trying to explain fairy tales and this bullshit. So if you're just starting this podcast on chapter 16, on episode 16, you should go back to episode 1. I think like the first couple episodes were a little bit easier to get through because we were doing the missionary lessons. So that was just like bullshit theology, just Mormon theology.
Right.
All the way through.
How it came about.
Like, right. And so.
Naked angels hovering over your bed and shit like that.
Yeah. All kinds of naked angels, freeballing naked angels hovering over Joseph Smith's face,
right,
telling him to go dig in his backyard.
Right. Over cosmic teabagging.
Cosmic tea in upstate New York.
Right.
They're always cosmic tea, but there's a lot of cosmic tea bagging in upstate New York,
right,
from my understanding. I've Still never been.
Even to this day.
To this day.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been, but I mean, that's what the internet tells me. A lot, right, of cosmic tea bagging happening in upstate New York. And so, anyway, if you're just tuning in, feel free, like, go ahead and start like from episode 1. See how far you get through like some drunk asshole talking about fairy tales through the whole thing. If you make it all the way up to back to episode 16, I'm going to be super fucking impressed.
Right.
Like, you deserve, like, a t-shirt or some shit like that.
Right.
So, I don't have any t-shirts. I do have stickers. And I'm really bad with that because, like, I printed off all these fucking Elder Wrong Drunk Mormon Missionary stickers. And I got, like, a list for people of people who wanted one. I haven't sent them out yet. And that was, like a month ago.
Right. If you actually get through episode 16, we will send you a white fruit.
The white fruit.
Right. From the white tree.
From the white, yes. We should make white fruit.
Yes,
from
we should.
The white tree. That would be funny. Anyway, we do have stickers. If you sent me your address for a sticker, apologize, I haven't sent it out to it. I'm going to get on to it one of these days, and I'll send these stickers out. I got like 1,000 of these fucking stickers. I'm saving them because I need to go to Utah, and I need to like put them in coffee shops there. I think that should probably be our demographic is probably Utah.
Right.
Provo, Salt Lake, Ogden.
I want to see if you can get one stuck somewhere inside the temple.
Oh, man. That would be funny.
Yes, it would.
Like in the bathroom, like right. On a stall.
Yeah.
That would be the easiest place to do it. That would be a little... Yeah, that would be funny. Okay. So, we're in First Nephi. So, last episode, which I haven't listened to in a while... Nephi is on some sort of fucking vision quest, right? Is this recording? Yeah, it's recording. Good. So Nephi is on this vision quest. Like he took some like shrooms or LSD or something, and he's got freeballing angels talking to him now, giving him visions and about things to come. So we're going to continue. We're continuing with Nephi's vision quest here. His LSD psychedelic trip with the freeballing angel. Matter of fact, the Book of Mormon doesn't give the angel a name. So we should give the angel a name. Angel Freeballer?
Yeah.
No. Angel Fireballs. Someone with balls,
was
dude.
Was he redhead?
Okay, it's a redhead. I don't care.
Redheaded angel.
Redheaded.
He's fireballs.
Fireballs. Angel fire, freeball and fireball is giving Nephi this vision quest up on a mountain someplace while his family's like camping out in an RV down in the valley of a layman. They just got to name it. Like back in the day, you just get to name shit.
Right.
Because no one else named it. So they just named the valley, the Valley of Laman.
Right.
Nephi's dad did. So, all right. So let's continue with Nephi's hallucinogenic magic mushroom acid trip. Yeah. That sounds like a Beatles song.
Right.
Yeah.
He's probably up there on the mountain listening to, the Beatles. And
what would it be, the Beatles?
Well,
Pink Floyd, probably.
Or Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd.
Or the Dead.
And he's probably high as fuck. Anyway, so freeball and angel here, angel balls, fireballs, angel fireballs shows Nephi in chapter 13 a vision of a great, the great, an abominable, abominable, abominable. I'm drunk.
Abominable.
Say it again.
I can't say it.
Abominable. Abominable. The great and abominable church, not the abominable snowman church. The great and abominable snowman church. And this great church that the angel fireball shows to Nephi does horrible shit. Like kills people and tortures people and enslaves people.
And fucks goats.
And according to chapter 7, this church has the bitches, like tons of whores and harlots. Let's see. Let's find that actual chapter.
That's kind of like an awesome church.
Yeah, the whore of the earth. And it came to pass in which rebellion. No, that's not the right one. We're in chapter 13. I'm reading the wrong one. All right, let's see. Chapter. And I saw gold and silver and silks and scarlets and fine twined linen. and all manner of precious clothing, and I saw many harlots. So yeah. this Bonneville church had the bitches, had the harlots, had the whores.
You think they'd be kind of interested in that because they've been talking. Oh wait, they're married now, aren't they?
Not yet.
Not yet.
We're getting to that.
Okay.
He's not quite married, but they went and kidnapped Ishmael,
right.
And all his daughters, right? So they could have
daughters. And Ishmael's like, yeah, you can wives. Have my daughters.
Yeah. So this great and abominable church. Was pretty horrible, apparently. And the angel spoke unto me, saying, behold, the gold, and the silver, and the silks, and the scarlets, and the fine twined linen, and the precious clothing, and the harlots.
So they had scarlets and harlots.
Scarlets and harlots, and the are the desires of this great and abominable church. So, for a long time, I think within Mormonism, they called this great and abominable church was, like, always seemed to be referred as Catholics, up until it wasn't PC to call it Catholics.
But this was before Catholicism ever began, isn't it? This is like back pre-Christian?
Yeah.
So there's no Catholic church, even though that's what they're referring to.
That's what there's no Catholic church. I mean, this is 600 BC according to the book, but 1833 is when Joseph Smith, but the Mormons up until like a long time, like referred to this great and abominable church, like pretty much as the Catholic church. Now I think it's pretty much like any church that's not the Mormon church,
right?
Or anybody who's not a Mormon, basically.
So every other church has the bitches.
Every other church has the bitches and the whores. So those are the churches you want to go to. So, all right, let's continue
a grave mistake in my life at some point.
With this shroom high that Nephi was on, and angel fireballs here showed Nephi's brothers, the children of his brothers. So, like, it showed him the future, basically, of, like, all the children's of Nephi and Sam and Laman and Lemuel. Basically, the Native Americans. And they also saw the Gentiles, and that there was an ocean that separated the Gentiles from the Native Americans. So,
of course, at this point, they wouldn't be considered Native Americans, but that's essentially what...
It's essentially what Mormonism,
right.
Like, believed. And then Angel Fireballs showed Nephi some dude crossing the seas and bringing the Gentiles over to the Promised Land, to the Americas.
Right.
Basically, Christopher Columbus.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah, 2,000 years before Christopher
Columbus. Yeah.
There it is.
There it is. There it is. 1833. Absolute proof that this is true.
Right.
Showing Christopher Columbus here, right? And then let's see, chapter 15, verse 15, we say, and I beheld the Spirit of the Lord, and it was upon the Gentiles, and they did prosper and obtain the land of their inheritance, and I beheld that they were white.
Amazing.
Amazing. They were white. And I beheld that white and exceedingly fair and beautiful, like unto my people before they were slain. That's some racist shit there, dude.
Right.
Like, the white people were beautiful. Anyway, it's in the Book of Mormon.
Right.
I'm not... It's hard to, like, talk about this stuff and not sound like I'm proposing some sort of racist bullshit or something. Anyway, it's right there. White. The white people.
Yep.
And the white people had the Bible, apparently, is what Angel Fireballs... was shown unto Nephi, but that asshole fucking church, the abominable church, the great and abominable church, they fucked with the Bible.
They did.
Yes, Angel Fireball says they fucked with the Bible, and they took shit out, and they added shit, and they just fucked with the Bible. Just fucked with it.
Right. Like, there was a whole complete Bible there, and
there,
then
there was a whole Bible.
The Abominable Church
took it and fucked with it.
Tore pages out. Scroll, made some pages with crayons, stuck them in there, and everything was changed.
Everything was changed in the Bible, but the white people had the Bible.
Right.
And then the angel fireball showed Nephi how the Gentiles killed his seed. Basically, the Gentiles came over here and, you know, genocide the Native Americans. Nephi saw that. But not all of them, because God is merciful. And that's what it said there. God is merciful. So he didn't kill all of them. I think it would have been merciful to, like have kept maybe Christopher Columbus over in Spain.
Right.
That would have been pretty merciful. Right?
Yeah.
Just kept them in Spain.
Right.
And kept the white people out of here.
Right. Just put a big, like, wall.
Around Europe. Yeah. Or in the Atlantic Ocean. Right. You know, or some sort of, like, Bermuda Triangle shit in the middle of it. So it sucked all the boats down and...
It kept them away from Africa, too.
No. The merciful God allowed some of the Native Americans to live, according to the book. And that's mercy, according to the Book of Mormon here.
Doesn't seem like mercy to me, but...
Yeah. No, not to me either. All right. So let's continue. And the angel fireballs here went and showed Nephi other books that came forth to convince the Gentiles of God and to restore the things taken out of the Bible. So.
Right.
There we go. The Book of Mormon is prophesying about the Book of Mormon. Isn't that amazing?
So my question here is.
That would be like me prophesying about me.
Right.
Yeah.
If the Abominable Church fucked up the Bible, why do the Mormons still use the Bible that the Abominable Church fucked up?
You know what? The Book of Mormon, because there's still stuff in it that's useful.
Right.
That's what the Book of Mormon
says. Why don't they just restore the real one that isn't fucked up?
Right. Well, Joseph Smith did that. There's the Joseph Smith translation of the Bible, and where he adds all kinds of shit to the Bible.
Translation.
Did you know that?
Was he a scholar of ancient languages?
No. Yeah. He gets it by revelation.
Right.
Just like I'm getting right now.
Magical glasses.
Magical glasses.
And his hat.
Yes. Okay, so the Book of Mormon here prophesies about the Book of Mormon. And angel fireballs talks about Nephi seeds are going to have both records from the Gentiles. And then that's the end of chapter 13.
Then what happens at chapter 14? Does this fireball's angel go away?
I need a shot first. Okay. So we're going to pause this. And our listeners won't notice that we pause it, except I'm telling them that I'm going to pause it right now.
Therefore, they're going to notice.
So, all right. All right, we're back.
Unpause.
I just had another shot. Eric had a cigarette.
Did you unpause?
Yeah, I unpaused. Okay. We're on.
Okay. That one show you forgot to unpause.
No, we're definitely recording. So, all right, now we're in chapter 14, and we're still in Nephi's psychedelic trip on top of the mountain with the mushrooms.
And a disturbingly red-crotched angel.
And hanging out with Angel Fireball. No. What do we call them? Fireballs.
Yeah, Angel Fireballs.
Angel Fireballs.
The Angel Fireballs.
All right. So Angel Fireballs tells Nephi there are only two churches. There's the Church of the Lamb of God and the Church of the Devil, who's the whore of the earth.
The whore of the earth.
The whore of the earth is the Church of the Devil, the great and abominable church.
The whore of the earth.
The whore of the earth.
I'm trying to wrap my head around that.
Isn't that from Revelations too? He talks about the great whore of the earth.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think that was actually referring to a person or being.
Oh.
Not a church. But yeah, I'm just trying to wrap my hand around a church that is the whore of the earth.
All right. All right, so the angel fireballs continues with his vision with Nephi and talks about wars and rumors of wars to come and how all these wars are gonna like scatter the Gentiles, and there'll be wars with the Gentiles, and they'll make war with the Nephites and the people of Nephi's people. And then, oh, we're talking about Revelation.
Right.
Nephi, in this vision, the angel of fireballs shows Nephi John the Revelator. Amazing.
Right.
You're right. Where, so that's right. Where I got that.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's in there.
Right.
So one of the apostles named John, and that's what the Book of Mormon says. John the Apostle... the Nephi says, like, yeah, this guy John will write all this shit later on. So don't worry about it. Like, write it down, but we're not going to do anything with it.
Even though he's part of the Whore Church.
The Whore Church, yeah. Well, no, John's not part of the Whore Church. The Whore Church, like, takes John's shit and fucks it up. And that's what Angel Fireballs says. So, because, like, let's see. And behold, the things which the apostle of the Lamb shall write are many which thou hast seen, and behold, the remainder shalt thou see. But the things which thou shalt see hereafter thou shalt not write. For the Lord God hath ordained the apostle of the Lamb of God that he should write them. Blah, 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 blah. And I, Nephi, heard and bear record that the name of the apostle of the Lamb was John, according to the word of Angel Fireballs. So there you go.
So it's kind of amazing that nothing was revealed after about 1830 in this vision.
No.
Kind of amazing.
So don't worry about it. Don't fucking write this shit down, John. Do you hear that? That's funny. That's the cat in the cat box in the background. All right. Alright, so, chapter 15. That was chapter 14. Boy, we're just burning through this shit now. We're on chapter...
wasn't much of chapter 14.
No. So, chapter 15. Alright, Nephi finally gets off his fucking acid trip, man. He's finally done with his acid trip on the top of the mountain with Angel Fireballs. So, he walks back down to the campsite with his family. So he heads back to the RV.
Probably feeling kind of crappy, all wrung out on the strychnine.
Man, and he's probably fucking hung the fuck over. So they...
feeling kind of brittle and all that shit.
Exactly. Man. I bet you. I wonder, I hope they had some vitamin C for him.
Right.
When he got back.
Vitamin C, hydrate him again.
Hydrate him. Yeah. Tell him to go ahead and just, like chill the fuck out in the RV for a bit, right? All right, so he heads back to camp. He heads back to the RV where his family's hanging out. And lo and behold, all his brothers are arguing about olive trees.
Sounds about right.
Of course. They're arguing about olive trees. They're arguing about, like, the fucking vision, the acid trip that Lehi had.
Right.
Right?
With the white fruit and white trees. And
right.
And the rod.
Right. And the olive trees. So they're arguing about olive trees. So Nephi has to explain the term metaphor.
What? Metaphor?
Metaphor. Hey, you fucktards. Metaphor. Olive tree. Dad was talking about a metaphor. He wasn't really talking about olive trees. And this made them happy because olive trees are pretty. Because they were just like, what the fuck? What the fuck is up with olive trees, dude? Like, do we have to take olive trees with us? Like, does God like olive trees for some reason? Why does God like olive trees? Why not lemon trees? Right. Why not cherry trees?
We have to stick apple trees? Up our butt.
Olive trees. Like, who the fuck gives a shit about olive trees? So Nephi has to explain metaphors. That Dad was really talking about olive branches. But and olive branches aren't olive branches. What they are we're like, he's talking about his family. Like,
family,
okay,
tree, right.
We're one of those branches from Israel or whatever. And God broke us off, and is going to plant us over here.
So they all represent here. People?
I guess so. I don't know. I don't get it, dude. Because, like, I'm not... I don't... How many olive trees have you seen in your life?
None.
Then why would... Like, neither have I. Like, I don't give a shit about olive trees.
Right.
But if I had explained to them about scattering of, like, the people's... And that's what God was doing. And then grafting them back in into the main tree or some shit. I don't know. It's a fucking metaphor. And it's like right. a weird fucking metaphor. It's a weird metaphor for me here, living here in Phoenix. Because, right. like, I don't give a shit about olive trees.
No, we've got lemon trees. We've got orange trees.
I don't know anything about olive trees.
Right.
What? Grapes. I've seen grapes before. Grafting grapes. Well, it's a vine.
Right.
And I've seen, like, when I was a kid, like, my dad bought some grapevines and planted them, and they grew, and we got Concord grapes, and we used to eat grapes.
All the time.
Okay, so they're still confused. All his brothers are still fucking confused about dad's acid trip. So they start asking about, well, what about the river shit? And Nephi's all like, well, that was a dirty river because I saw it in my acid trip. And they're like, why don't you share that shit, Nephi?
Right.
that would help. Like Nephi and Lehi should have shared their acid with Laman and Lemuel. Don't you think?
Right. Yeah, I don't like people that hold out. Like, they got the shit, like, spread it around.
They should have given it to everybody, and then everybody could have angel fireballs coming to them.
Right.
Showing them trees of white fruit and olives. Was the white fruit olive?
I don't know. And why were they eating them if they were? And then if they represent people, what does that mean? And
there's a river, and the river's dirty now, but it wasn't before, but now it's dirty. And Nephi's like, well, it was dirty water, like a sewer. And the brothers are, like, scratching their head going, What the fuck are you even talking about?
I kind of am too.
Why is it more dirty? But Nephi says, well, it's dirty water, therefore it's hell. And the river separates people because it's dirty. And it separates because dirty water separates people. Why don't you get this shit? And Laman says, because you're holding out, dude.
Right.
Like, fuck you and your fucking acid. I'm just going to smoke some weed and I'm going to chill.
Right.
And everything's going to be okay. All right. By the end of that, somehow Laman and Lemuel want to be good boys. They're all like, okay. Maybe they just get tired of it. You know, have you ever, like, sat down with somebody, like, who tries to explain, like, a trip that they had?
And you're just kind of like, whatever, dude.
You're like, whatever.
Right.
Like, let's just go to Taco Bell.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe it was like that.
Yeah, like, I don't want to hear any more about your soul expanding into the sky and all that shit.
No. Oh, what's that shit that people are taking in South America now?
I haven't heard of that.
It's like the new hipster thing to do. Wait a sec. I gotta look this up. South American America drug trip. Not drug trafficking. It would be do you know what? What's the name of it? Should probably pause it and look this up because I can't remember.
Ayahuasca?
What is it?
Ayahuasca.
How do you spell it?
It's
A-S-C-A. There we go.
I guess it's also called Yage.
There we go. Yeah, it's like ayahuasca when you're like white friends, when middle class white friends are like, I'm going to South America to have an ayahuasca and expand my everything.
Right.
Like, I don't want to hear about it. It's like when people go to Burning Man.
Right.
And you don't go. You're like, I don't care about olive branches or fucking Playa dust anymore. Right. You know what I mean? It's probably something like that. Anyway, everybody was cool, and they're just like, okay, fuck it, whatever. And everybody was kosher, and everybody was happy. And that's the end of chapter 15. Yay!
Well, I'm glad that they want to be good boys now.
I'm just glad the Angel Fireballs went back to wherever the fuck he came from.
If it's Angel Fireballs, you kind of wonder where he came from.
It came from like some sort of fucking hallucinogenic trip. That's where he came from. Alright, now we're in chapter 16. So guess what happens in chapter 16? Right off the bat.
They're not good boys anymore?
No. They fucking get married.
Oh, okay.
So Nephi and all the guys get their wives, and it's all Ishmael's daughters.
Right.
So it's the reason why they went and kidnapped all these people, so, or like convinced them. I guess not really brainwashed them.
Right.
Like a cult.
Now they've all got like, Stockholm syndrome.
You got to come out in the desert with us.
Right.
Leave your homes in Jerusalem and come out with us into the wilderness. Okay. And bring your daughters. We need your daughters.
Right.
So
Nephi gets laid.
Nephi, Laman, Lemuel, Sam get laid. And guess what? They're pretty happy.
I would imagine.
They're happy finally for a while. Everyone's happy. So after everyone gets married and gets laid and has some sex, time to take off from the Valley of Lemuel. So they've been in the Valley of Lemuel for a while, taking a lot of fucking hallucinogenic drugs, apparently. And they're finally done with the hallucinogens.
Are you sure they're not on a bus that's all tie-dyed?
It's like fucking Grateful Dead concert out there, dude. So much trippy shit happening out in the Valley of Lemuel.
Right.
And they're finally done with their acid trips and their mushroom trips and their ayahuasca trips. And they're ready to take off again. So they get all packed up. They pack up the RV and the camels and the tents and shit like that. And then Lehi wakes up one morning and looks outside his tent. And lo and behold, he sees a ball. Not Nephi's ball.
That's good.
Not Laman's ball.
Right.
Not Fireball's balls.
Right.
But an actual brass ball.
So this is a brass ball.
It's a brass ball. And it's called the Liahona.
Okay. Did he have Jesus?
And it's like a compass. So the Liahona. Let me explain the Liahona. Liahona is this compass thing that they find that apparently God gives them.
Right.
To direct them and to guide them. Because but they don't know this yet.
Did God also give
them
the
name? I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here. So the Liahona is a brass ball. I like saying that. Brass balls. Ball. Yeah. Lehi has a brass ball.
Yeah.
He has one brass ball. That God gives him. God gives Lehi a brass ball.
God kind of seems obsessed with balls.
I might be obsessed with balls. I'm talking a lot about balls this week, this episode, right. Huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you don't like balls, I apologize. This is the balls episode. We're going to talk about, we're talking about brass balls and fireballs and angel balls and free balling and All kinds of balls just flying around out there.
Shirt cocking, evidently.
Out there in the wilderness. So Lehi finds a compass thingy outside his tent called the Liahona, and then they take off and they start like hiking or traveling in the RV or whatever the fuck they're doing. They're getting away from. They're finally getting on the road. Finally, right. Headed out and they're taking off.
Playing the song Convoy.
So, and they followed the Liahona for 4 days. Tells them what directions to go, where to get food and shit like that. And they hunt on the way, you know.
Do they ever explain how a ball tells them which direction to go?
Yeah, a little bit later. Okay. It's the Lord's ball, right. Apparently.
How does
yes.
it point?
It's the Lord's ball points in one direction.
Right. Even though it's a sphere, so it doesn't have a point.
It points. And there's writing on the Lord's ball here. Okay. So as they're traveling, now this is we're gonna progress the story here. All right, let's get away from the ball for a while. We'll get back to the ball.
Okay.
The brass ball is important here, but we'll get back to the brass ball. And we're gonna talk about them hunting for food. So They're hunting for food as they're traveling right. along. They're living off the land, as they say. Mm-hmm. Just like living off the land. And so one day when Nephi's out on a hunting trip, he breaks his his bow. So he has a steel bow, and he fucking breaks it. So he can't get any food. And everyone's real pissed off at Nephi for being such a clumsy dipshit for breaking his bow. Apparently, they only had one bow. I don't know if Laman and Lemuel and Sam and Ishmael's kids or anybody else. Apparently, Nephi had the only working bow in this whole group. That's a lack of foresight, if you ask me. Yeah. I'm planning to have one fucking bow.
These kids weren't Boy Scouts. They weren't prepared.
They could have they should have brought like 4, 5, 6, 7, 10, like a bunch of bows. They should have brought more than one bow, but they had like one bow.
Right.
And Lehi breaks the bow, and everyone's pissed off because no one else can hunt except for Nephi. So they're not getting any food. And they're pissed off. Laman and Lemuel and Ishmael. Well, and everyone is pissed off because Nephi breaks his fussy
dinner.
Yeah. So Nephi goes and he makes a new bow. Imagine that. Out of wood. Not steel this time. So he makes a bow. He makes some arrows. And he goes
to... Why the hell did he have a steel bow? Anyway.
Anachronism.
Anachronism?
Is that what that's called? Because, steel wasn't invented back then, was it? When was steel invented? Because, the Book of Mormon specifically says he has a steel bow. So, thank God for Google. When was steel invented? We're going to find out when steel was invented. No. The Chinese of the, according to Google, who invented steel and why? The Chinese of the Warring States period, 403 to 221 BC, had quenched hardened steel. All right. When was I don't care about stainless steel.
They didn't have steel then. That's 200 years later.
When was steel invented? Timeline of materials technology, according to Wikipedia. We're looking here.
So it wasn't really a...
Not until... Okay, so ancient India, crucible steel.
So for weapon use in West... Which is where they are. We're talking another 800 years before they have steel.
Steel Book of Mormon. No, because this is actually like a major issue that people have with the Book of Mormon. Because, dude, I'm not going to. Nephi, steel bow, come by, come by, blah, blah, blah.
I shall take that back. So, yeah, we're talking 400 BC, first introduction, 326 BC
All right.
in the West.
All right, because this is a major issue.
Right. They're about 300 years.
We're kind of making fun right now about him breaking the bow and everyone be pissed off, but specifically here, and let's read chapter 16 really quick and talk about steel. Because this is the non-Mormons who read this do have an issue with this, and we'll get into that too. See, we're not just assholes. We're trying to we want to know. We want to know. Where is it? Just a sec.
It's all right. We can just say that it's there.
Wait. I want to find out. We did travel. Kind of pet. Blah, 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 blah. All right, here we go. It's in chapter 18. It says, "And it came to pass that as I, Nephi, went forth to slay food, behold, I did break my bow, which was made of fine steel. And after I did break my bow, behold, my brethren were angry with me because of the loss of my bow, and we did not attain no food." So, specifically, he says steel, and...
It's fine steel, too.
Fine steel.
Which we're way, way, way before steel or fine steel for that matter.
So, steel and iron are mentioned several times in the Book of Mormon. So I'm reading from a Wikipedia thing about anachronisms in the Book of Mormon. So an anachronism, you want to explain that to listeners?
So an anachronism would be anything in literature or anything else that doesn't fit the time period that it's presented in.
Right.
So...
So if I wrote a book about Sherlock Holmes,
right,
and talked about Sherlock Holmes googling information,
that would be an anachronism.
That would be an anachronism.
He pulls out his iPhone and starts googling stuff, out of his little front pocket that holds a pocket watch, and he starts googling stuff. Yeah, he's definitely got an anachronism.
That's an anachronism because right. Sherlock Holmes lived in what? The early 1900s, we'll say.
It was the Victorian era. So like
Victorian era, and obviously there was no internet and no Google or no iPhone back then. So Sherlock Holmes would be an anachronism.
Right.
Technology that does not fit the time of something that I'm writing about. So steel is an anachronism because this story that we're talking about right now takes place at about 600 BC. Supposedly.
So, we're like 200 to 300 years before the actual production of steel.
We're about 200 or 300 years before that. So, all right. So, let's get past the anachronism. We'll get back to the story. Anyway, I just want to point that out.
Right.
Steel. Not really. This is something that people point out saying, aha.
Right.
Joseph Smith made this shit up because there was no steel.
Right.
Back then. Steel wouldn't have come until a couple hundred years after the fact.
And they weren't making bows out of it at that point either.
They weren't making bows out of it.
I mean, wood is the thing to make bows out of, and horn and stuff like that, not steel.
Or wood.
Right.
Wood?
Wood, horn, stuff like that, resin. You need all that stuff, not steel. All
right. And I'm going to remind our listeners that Eric is the history major. I'm not, but Eric is, so.
Right.
A little bit of a background. Eric kind of knows what he's talking about. He studied this shit. So, okay. So, anyway, everyone's pissed off because there's no fucking food. And so he makes a new bow. Nephi makes a bow out of wood and goes to Lehi and says, okay, where do I go for food? So, by that point, everyone's kind of like chilled out, apparently, and they're not quite as pissed off about the bow getting broke. So, Lehi goes to the Liahona, to this little brass ball compass thingy, and it's like Google Maps. And it's a GPS of a Vietnamese restaurant on the top of a mountain.
A little more anachronism, but that's okay.
So Nephi goes and finds the Vietnamese restaurant, and they get some spring rolls, and everyone gets to eat. Everyone's pretty happy.
You know, as long as they got Da Vang back there in 600 BC.
Oh my God! We're all good. If you're ever in Phoenix, you gotta try out Da Vang. It is the best Vietnamese restaurant in the whole fucking world.
Yes,
and it's on 19th Avenue. And you go there, and it's cheap as hell.
It is cheap as hell.
Oh my God! You could like you just fucking stuff yourself on pho. And it costs like $4 for like this whole big bowl of pho.
We've got those amazing sandwiches, the Vietnamese sandwiches that are on French baguettes.
Oh yeah,
those are
Oh my God! And the spring rolls are amazing. Right. Oh my God, so good. Da Vang's. So this episode is brought to you by Da Vang's on 19th Avenue, near Camelback in Phoenix, Arizona.
Right.
Free little shout out there. All right, so Nephi goes and takes his bow, his new bow and arrow, and he goes hunting according to where the Liahona, because it has writing on it now, and the writing changes and lets everybody, and it's based off of their faith and their diligence and them being, like, not pissy assholes, apparently.
I still think this sounds like an episode of Hellraiser or something. They got this weird device that points and moves and shit. Pretty soon you're going to have a guy with like pin stuck in his face.
All right.
Anyway.
So everybody eats and everyone is happy. So after they're all done with that, they stop off for a while. They camp. They park the RV pitch their tents and shit, and they camp for a while. And Ishmael dies. Not surprising. No. You bring an old dude like on a camping trip with like no medical assistance, and dude probably had diabetes or Alzheimer's or some shit. Probably Alzheimer's if he's gonna follow these fucks out in the wilderness, right?
Right.
And when he dies, so his family's pretty pissed. Like, what the fuck? Like, our dad's dead, and Laman and Lemuel jump on the bad wagon. They get all pissed off, too. Like, yeah, what the fuck, man? We shouldn't be out here in the wilderness. We should be back in Jerusalem. Blah, 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 blah.
Old fucking man, though.
So everyone's pissed off again, and to the point where they want to kill everybody. They're like seriously pissed, dude. They're like, all right. So, like, you guys, like, fucking lied to us. And are feeding us bullshit based off of your acid trips and your fucking mushroom taking, and you only want it. You're telling us this bullshit so that you can roll over us, so you can like tell us what to do and blah 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 blah.
So who's the bigger fool, the drug swilling hophead, or the people that follow the drug swilling?
Well, here's the thing, man. Like, angels like appeared unto them too, right?
So they've seen angels anyway.
So they've seen angels. Remember in whatever episode where Nephi chops off Laban's head and the fucking angel, like, they're beating their brothers with a stick, and the fucking angel appears to them and says, like, you know, stop doing that, you assholes.
Right.
And so, like, Laban and Lemuel have, like, apparently have had the same acid trips. But maybe they're a little bit more, like, level-headed. Or like, yeah, well, that's what you get for, like, taking all this LSD.
And you're not even sharing anymore either.
You're not even sharing anymore. Because we're not, you know, anyway. So everyone, they're pretty pissed off. They went to the point that they want to kill Nephi and Sam again and Lehi.
Right.
Which is kind of like this consistent thing throughout the narrative of the story, right, is Laman and Lemuel wanting to kill their brother. And so the voice comes, there's a voice comes from heaven and says, don't do that. Quit being whiny little fucks, you know. Don't be a whiny little bitch. I'm the Lord God, and I commanded Lehi to do this. Just knock your shit off.
Right.
So they heard the voice, so they knocked the shit off. They knocked it the fuck off. All right. Anyway, that's the end of that chapter. What chapter was that?
That was 17?
16. Chapter 16. Okay, we're at the end of this episode, because that's all the notes I took on what I fucking read today. Notebook goes on the ground. Okay. What do you think? Chapter 17. So, how many more chapters do we have of First Nephi? I don't even know what I'm going to do when I get into Second Nephi, because Second Nephi, like, this shit is hard, but at least we're back into storytelling, which is kind of easy to do. Like, it's basically when they get into the prophesizing and the fucking, what do you call it, the like olive branches and shit,
right?
I can't do it. It's impossible to get through. But we're okay. So First Nephi has 22 chapters, so 17 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. We got 7 chapters to go for Nephi, and then we'll celebrate, because we went through one book of the Book of Mormon, and then Second Nephi, man. I don't know what to do about that, because it's mainly like Isaiah. It's like mainly Joseph Smith plagiarizing Isaiah, like so much Isaiah and Second Nephi. And Isaiah is like, that guy was high as fuck. Have you ever read Isaiah?
Well, I have. I don't remember it.
Dude, I have no idea.
It's like 30 years ago. Yeah, I don't really remember.
It's like it's talking about olives again. Like, I don't give a fuck about olives or olive trees or anything like that. And that's like Isaiah. Like, olive tree, olive tree, olive tree.
And Joseph Smith really liked olives.
God loves olives, I guess, because he talks about olives a lot and all this shit. Anyway, we may just skim when we get to Second Nephi. We're still, what did I say, 7 chapters until then, but I'm not looking forward to Second Nephi.
Maybe we'll get together and like come up with an idea how to better present this material.
When we get into all the Isaiah chapters, definitely. And maybe just like, fuck it, read Isaiah. If you really care, read Isaiah. It's all...
If you don't really care, stay the hell away from it.
Stay the hell away from it. We'll jump through it, because I really just want to get in... Maybe that's what we'll do, is we'll just jump through. We'll just, like, gloss over the Isaiah shit and get back into storytelling. Storytelling's fun. We'll storytelling.
We'll hit the salient points of Isaiah.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, thank you for listening to this episode of The Drunk Mormon Missionary. Are you off on Saturdays from now on?
For the time being.
So part of the problem why we haven't been doing podcasts in a while is, like, I really need Eric. I really appreciate Eric, like, helping me with this shit. It's, like, a lot easier to do this podcast and to get through this shit with Eric. And Eric's been on. Our work schedules do not match. Like, we're roommates, and, like, I'm sleeping when he's working, and I'm working when he's sleeping, and we just ships in the night, man. Right. Ships in the night. So, I got other people who want to be investigators too.
Right.
Oh, you know what the other hard part is like drinking gives me a headache. I do not look forward to. I get headaches from getting drunk anymore. I can't believe that I'm such a wuss.
I think we need to change your mixers.
I've been drinking a lot of that pop, that vodka. Maybe vodka is giving me a headache. Maybe I got
you drink good vodka, though, so it's not that vodka.
It's not the vodka. Well, I'm like, tonight was like 3 or 4 shots.
Right.
I got to figure something out about this, because I really want, I really, like, if I don't do anything else with my life, I'm going to get through the Book of Mormon with the Drunk Mormon Missionary Podcast. Come hell or high water, I will get through the Book of Mormon.
Right.
I just fucked up my microphone there. As God, as sure cocking Jesus is my witness, I will get through the Book of Mormon.
You're being your own witness. Unplugged. We just plugged the microphone in.
What the hell? There we go. All right, that's me hitting the mic. I need better equipment too.
Yeah, that's when you know you got great equipment. It's when you can just smack it and it starts working.
Work. Good.
Yes, Elder Wrong here has the bad mic. The bad mic cord.
I think it's the mic cord. I gotta get a new mic cord. All right. So, hey, fine. If you are discovering this podcast because you don't know me personally, I can't imagine too many people. But there probably are people who are just like Googling Drunk Mormon Missionary, and I come up, and that's cool. If you like don't know me any other way besides through this podcast, like, find me on Facebook and say hey, and send me an email.
Knowing people,
it's Elder Wrong on Facebook, which is like official. Like, Facebook can't do anything about it. I sent them my fucking driver's license that said Elder Wrong, and it's all official that I am officially Elder Wrong. Corn mm-hmm. Facebook, they're not gonna fuck with my name anymore. You know, some. I pissed somebody off, and they turned me into the Facebook police, and I sent Facebook a copy of my driver's license. It said Elder Wrong, and Facebook's like, okay, you're really Elder Wrong? All right,
we won't fuck it anymore. Listeners, because they're actually Googling Drunk Mormon Girls, and accidentally get to Drunk Mormon Missionary.
You guys are awesome if you do that. Find me on Facebook as Elder Wrong. Send me a message. I got these, I got like 1,000 Book of Mormon, or Drunk Mormon Missionary stickers. They look like a missionary name tag. If you want a couple of those, just hit me up on Facebook. I'll be happy to send those out. I'm going to go back to, because like Elder Wrong is kind of an extension of my pirate radio days before the feds shut us down. So, I have a song request by somebody from who I met. We're going to end the show with a little Dan Byrne here, Estelle. Mainly because there's a portion in there about Estelle, who's like a Mormon girl who always calls him when she's drunk. So this is totally illegal because, like, I have no copyright on this. So go ahead and hit up Dan Byrne for website on his website and go check him out. He's in the East Coast. It's pretty fucking cool. Dan Byrne is still.
Sitting on a copy of Tropic of Cancer. The only thing weird about it is that a year ago I never thought I'd paint anything again. I decided I wasn't gonna ever paint again. It didn't bother me too much. Warhol's dead, David Hockney's still alive, I don't need to paint. I painted over 10,000 paintings. Sad ones, funny ones, dark ones, and loud ones. I've done haystacks and rich old ladies by their pools wearing nothing but a scarf. I painted everything there was to paint. Now it was time to sit back, give interviews, get on the internet, hang out at Club Med, take stock of what I'd done. You know, the best friend I ever had was a dog. That sounds like a cliche unless it's happened to you. Some days that dog was the only reason I even got out of bed. That dog went everywhere with me. Then I heard that crack addicts were stealing dogs and selling them for animal research. Sounded like an urban myth to me, like the mouse in the Coke bottle, but I started leaving her at home after that. You know, Paula was my wife for a while. She ran off to Paris with the great-grandson of Van Gogh, the cartoonist who did fashion graphics for Le Monde. When Paula left, she took my dog. I never saw her again except in court during the custody battle. She won and got to keep the dog, and I didn't speak to anyone for months. You know, sometimes it feels like there's so much that you need. Sometimes the world is upside down. Sometimes it seems that the only thing you need is holding someone's hand as you walk through town. I started hanging around with Dino. He used to run a poker game back east. Now he has a little coffee shop. Serves cappuccino to his old pals, Tommy Chicago and Jimmy the Wig and the Ugly Rose. You know, the best person I ever knew was a Mormon woman named Estelle. She still calls me drunk every few months and asks me stuff I don't want to talk about. You can't talk to her long unless you're drunk yourself, and we go all night. She goes, why, baby, why, baby, why, baby, why have you turned your back on love? You had so many chances, why have you let them all go by? Well, one morning I was sitting out front of Dino's place with Jake the Shears, a guy from Philly who gives free mohawks. There were a couple of young painters I was hoping to come by so I could give them some advice. Yeah, I was sitting there updating my list of enemies when this girl walks in and the universe kind of stopped. Turned out she drank the same tea as me. Don't take more than that to start a conversation sometimes. She believed collage was the greatest of all the arts and was busy pasting pictures of horses next to ads for laundry soap next to Muhammad Ali. She had a turquoise in her ear and a Sid Rachmaninoff was always in her hand. Later that day I was trying to describe her Jimmy the Wig. I couldn't find any words, and I realized I'd started to sketch her chin. Somehow it didn't look right. I scratched it out and tried it again. I filled an entire pad. I threw it away. I never even came close. For 6 days I sat at Dino's place. The rain wouldn't quit and no one came in. Finally on the seventh day it cleared, and in she walked. I asked her to sit with me, and I bought her a cup of tea, and I asked her to model for me sometime. That afternoon I was at a canvas. She was wearing a yellow dress. I swore if she'd let me, I'd get it right. I painted over 10,000 paintings. Sad ones, funny ones, dark ones, and light ones. But sitting there, it was like I couldn't even write my own name. I apologized and said it's been a few months. If you have patience, I'll get the hang of it again. In the next few weeks, I've painted her hundreds of times. If I get my nose right, the chin's too long. If I get them both right, the face is too thin. But I keep after it, and one day I doesn't seem that a copy of Tropic of Cancer. The only thing that's funny is I never thought I'd paint anything again. I think I might go visit Estelle. Those Utah mountains are good for the soul. I'll bring my brushes and some Jack Daniels and we can make up for lost time. She said, why, baby, why, baby, why, baby, why, baby, why have you turned your back on love? You had so many chances, why have you let them all go by? She said, why, baby, why, baby, why, baby, why, baby, why have you turned your back on love? You had so many chances, why have you let them all go by?